بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، إن شاء الله this is our sixth class in the fiqh of Tahara, and it will increase us much in knowledge in fiqh of the religion and give us the benefit of this short time together, إن شاء الله. Last time we were reading the hadith, and it's one of the most important and foundational hadith in the fiqh of commanding good and forbidding evil. And we'll repeat the hadith, inshallah, and complete the commentary on this hadith.
وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء عربي فبال في طائفة المسجد فزجره الناس فنهاهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما قضى بوله أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذنوب من ماء فأهرق عليه. متفق عليه.
This hadith is narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim, that a Bedouin man came and entered the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. And in that time, when the masjid was built from palm leaves and from the stalk of palm trees, it looked like a very rough area. It didn't look like something like a home that was inhabited. So this Bedouin, he came and he tied his camel in the front of the masjid, and he walked in. And he had to answer the call of nature. And looking around in the place, it just looked like an empty area. So he went to one of the corners, and he sat down to take care of his need. And the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba were there at that time. And the Sahaba ran to him, and they were about to drag him and throw him out of the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ, seeing this, he went to the Sahaba and he told them, do not hold his urine back. He said, leave him. And then when he finished, the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the Bedouin himself, and he explained that this is the house of Allah. It is for the dhikr of Allah. It is a place of purity, and it is not appropriate to urinate in this place. And he told him in a gentle way, in a kind way. And the Bedouin, seeing how the Sahaba were harsh to him and how kind the Prophet was, he said, may Allah have mercy on you and on me and on no one else. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you have made restricted what Allah has made vast. Allah's mercy is very vast. And so he asked for the Sahaba to bring a bucket and pour it over the urine. And that was the way that he dealt with the situation. So we learn, very importantly, in the fiqh of commanding good and forbidding evil, that إِذَا كُنْتَ تَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَلْيَكُنْ أَمْرُكَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. If you want to command to good, then the means that you take to call people to good should be appropriate. It should be something that will not lead to a greater harm. So every da'i, every person who wants to prevent an evil, he has to use his insight and his experience and reflect on the consequences of that commanding of good or forbidding evil. I mentioned in the past that Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, was asked about some highway robbers that used to live in the mountains, and they used to drink alcohol. So his students, they said, should we go up there and smash their bottles of alcohol? And Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, don't do that. If you do that, they'll come down here and rob us and probably kill us. So he said, let them be drunk and busy with themselves. Leave them with themselves. At least this way, they're not harming us. So you see the fiqh of commanding good and forbidding evil. It's not that a person, whenever he sees anything wrong, he jumps on the person to tell him you're doing something wrong. Because this could have a harmful effect. And the Prophet ﷺ, he considered the education level of the Bedouin. He was a simple man. He didn't know, he wasn't used to the city life. So the Prophet ﷺ was considerate of him. He was he understood that he didn't have knowledge. So because of this, he weighed the consequences of restraining him and holding him from his urine, which would harm the Bedouin. And of course, the Bedouin didn't know what he had done wrong, and this would have led him to be harmed and lead to a greater evil, which would be the spreading of urine throughout the masjid. So we see that from this hadith, an important lesson in the fiqh of commanding good and forbidding evil. The scholars, they say, الضرر يزال, evil must be reduced. So when you look at when we forbid evil, we should make sure that it will not lead to more evil consequences. For example, forbidding evil amongst people, if it will lead to division, if there is a minor issue or something that is not of a major import, if bringing that issue to light at that moment will lead to division within the between the believers and lead to hatred, Allah says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not divide up. So again, the person who commands and forbids evil, he should have knowledge of the consequences of his commanding good and forbidding evil. And also we see in this hadith the great emphasis of taking care of the masajid. The Prophet ﷺ, he explained to the Bedouin, this is the house of Allah. This is a place of purity. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions in the Quran about taking care of the house of Allah. Allah says, أَمْطَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ. Purify my house to those who circumambulate and those who make i'tikaf. Make it pure and clean. And Allah says, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَى وَيُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. In those houses where Allah's name is raised, Allah's name is raised both physically by the calling of the adhan, but also in terms of the calling people to believe in Allah and to obey His commandments. Allah's name is raised in these houses. And this is the referring to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being in these houses. And there was once a black woman, she used to sweep the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, she became sick. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he told the Sahaba, if this woman dies, make sure you tell me. And so he went to sleep, and she died during the night. And the Sahaba, they didn't want to disturb the Prophet ﷺ. So they buried her, they prayed janazah on her and buried her. In the morning, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, what happened to that black woman? And the Sahaba, they said, she died and we buried her. And the Prophet ﷺ said, show me her grave so that I can go and make dua for her. This is the honor that the Prophet gave her because she took care of the house of Allah. Her heart was attached to the house of Allah. She was always cleaning it and taking care of it. So this honor is not related. She was in Islam, honor is not because of the color of the skin, because she's a woman, but the honor was because of the actions that she did, that she honored the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ honored her and Islam honored her and took care of her. Now just quickly the fiqh of this hadith before we finish. The scholars, they say that when we look at the way that the urine was purified, the Prophet ﷺ commanded that a bucket of water be brought and poured over the urine and so that it would be cleaned. But the question is, if you pour water, a small amount of water onto urine, will that clean the water? Or will that clean the urine, or will it cause it to spread out more? And so this is why the fuqaha, they had to study this hadith carefully. And they said that when you pour a small amount of water on some impurity, all of that water becomes najis. Isn't that what we studied according to the jumhur? The majority of the ulama, they say that less than qullatain of water, when some urine goes in it, it all becomes najis. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he commanded this, why did he command to use a small amount of water? The scholars, they came up with a number of responses or interpretations. Some of the ulama, they said that they took that bucket of water and they poured it on the urine, and the urine soaked into the earth and went down into the earth, and therefore the water didn't really, the urine didn't become cleaned, but it just got placed in a different area. It went down into the earth. And so they say, some of the ulama, they said that this is the response, that small amount of water cannot purify the urine, but it took it to a different place below the earth. And some of them, they say that perhaps they took that bucket and they poured a little bit at a time. So it would wash the urine, it would soak, then they would pour a little bit of more water and it would soak deeper into the earth, and a little bit more until it went deep into the earth. However, the hadith, it doesn't clarify if that was what was done, but this is one of the interpretations. The Hanafi school, they relied on a different hadith to try to remove this ambiguity. They said that there's a narration that the Sahaba dug up the place where he had urinated and moved the dirt to a different place outside of the masjid. Then the bucket of water was brought and poured on the place. However, the scholars of hadith say that that narration is weak. Its sanad is very weak, so it cannot be used to derive ahkam. Furthermore, they said if the Sahaba dug up the dirt and moved it somewhere else, why would you need water? If you took the dirt and removed it outside of the masjid, then there's no need to bring the bucket of water and wash the area. So they replied to that hadith. Also, the Maliki school, they use this hadith to support their position. Does anybody remember what the Maliki say about small quantity of water? Yes? And even if it's a small amount of water, it does not become impure if there's some najasa in it, unless one of its three qualities change. The jumhur, the majority of scholars, they say a small amount of water, even if one drop of impurity goes into it, it becomes impure. Imam Malik, he said, no, one of the qualities of the water has to change. So Imam Malik, they seized this hadith. They said, look at this. There's a small amount of water being poured onto urine and it's cleaning the urine. So this must mean that a small amount of water does not become impure by touching a small impurity. However, the Jumhur, they did not agree with that argument. They said the difference is that when you pour water onto an impurity, that impurity is dispersed and it's spread away and it's washed away. But when you put impurity into the water will carry that impurity. And that impurity will spread throughout the water, and that water will become najas. So they said there's a difference between pouring clean water on a najasa and putting a najasa into water. Because the one, if you have a thob that has some urine on it, if you pour the water on it, then you're washing that impurity away from the thob. But if you have a clean glass of water or a bucket of water and you put some impurity into it, it will be gathered, that impurity will be gathered in the water and cause it to be impure. So they responded back by this argument. Finally, there's a question of if some urine from a child or an elderly person, it falls onto a hard surface, should one pour water on it, like in this hadith, or should they use some other means? The scholars, they say that pouring water onto the urine, if it's on a hard surface, it will only cause the najasa to spread more. And the only reason why it was allowed in this hadith is because the earth was soft. It absorbed the urine. If the earth is hard, or there's a hard floor, if you leave the urine there and pour water on it, you're only going to spread the urine more. And it will cause the urine that was in a small place, it will be spread out. So the correct way to remove it is to take a sponge and to absorb all of the urine, or all of the impurity, and remove it to another place, and to repeat that process until all of the urine has been removed. But not by pouring water on top of it and spreading it out. It should be absorbed and moved completely to another place. So the pouring of water is only for soft earth. And as we mentioned before, when it comes to a carpet, the scholars, they say that either the carpet should be taken up and washed, if it can be removed, if it's a rug, or the water should be, the urine should be completely soaked from it, like using a sponge or a wet vac. Or the carpet has to be replaced. Because that urine has to be completely removed from that place in order for it to become tahir. So finally, we see that this hadith was mentioned by Shaykh Ibn Hajar to support the Maliki view that small amount of water does not become impure by pouring water, by putting some small najasa in it. However, the Jumhur responded by saying that this is different than the putting impurity into a small quantity of water. This is pouring water onto the impurity, and it's washing it away. And so we see that this hadith, it has more than one interpretation. And again, this hadith is a foundational hadith in commanding good and forbidding evil, and how to deal with people who are ignorant, to deal with them gently, easily, and with rahmah. So we ask Allah to give us rahmah in commanding good and forbidding evil, and give us fiqh of his religion. Wa jazakum Allah khair. So we'll suffice with this, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Jazakum Allah khair. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, brother. Noor, tafadhal.
Let's say somebody came today,
Right, if there's urine on a carpet, like I mentioned, there's either the carpet should be taken and washed, or there should be the urine should be completely removed through a sponge or through a wet vac, or the carpet should be replaced. But the urine cannot remain in the carpet. Otherwise that carpet will, that cannot be prayed on, that area cannot be prayed on. The urine has to be soaked out of it, either through a wet vac, or, you know, they have the call carpet doctor. Those ones that you pour, they can absorb water. They suck water out, so they can remove all of the urine from the fibers of the carpet.
What if you let it dry by itself?
If it's dry, then if you step on it, the urine doesn't transfer. If urine is dry, then there's no harm on stepping on it. However, you cannot pray on that spot, because it's still, the spot itself is still has impurity. And from the shurut of prayer, is that your clothes are free from najasa, and your body is free from najasa through wudu, and that the place of sajda is free of najasa. So the those three means can be used to remove the urine, inshallah.
Yes, brother.
Our
sprinkle system nowadays, they are using wastewater.
Right, right, yes.
And you don't know when it starts, no. You just walk in and it starts and it's on your clothes or wet with this. So, what do you say about that? And you don't know which sprinkler system is wastewater or is pure water.
Right, right. Sprinkler system, I'm not familiar. Where are these sprinklers located then?
Everywhere. No? Where there's no main sewer system, they have a big tank and they use this for sprinkler system.
Yeah, does anybody know?
The lawns and the grass?
The lawns.
Grass, yeah.
That water is, has it been processed or is it just raw sewage?
It's not known. It depends on some places.
Septic tanks, it's sometimes septic tanks.
Right. If it's a small amount, I know that in the according to the ulama, in the time of the Sahaba, they would walk to the masjid and sometimes some small amount of dirt, mud from the road would get on their clothes. And that mud could have impurity in it. However, the scholars, especially like I know in the Hanafi school, they say if it's less than the size of a coin, then it's forgiven. It's overlooked because that small amount of, tiny amount of impurity, it's very hard to avoid that to get on one's clothes. So they would overlook that.
But it's just like shower, you know, when you start now, you just near the shower, sprinkles.
Right. If you know that the water is sewage water, you should definitely avoid it. Should definitely stay away.
And what about this lawn? You can spray in this lawn, which is irrigated by that water?
If the water is sewage water that has urine or feces in it, and it was watered on that lawn, then you cannot pray that. No, it should bring a sajada, it should bring something to pray.
Sometimes you don't know. Is it sewer water or is the main water?
Well, this is the first time I'm hearing this, but I can look into it. You know,
a lot of places, they have this is, you know,
I can look into
the water and all this.
Right, right. Yeah, if you fear that there's impurity on the earth, you can always put a cloth over it and pray on the cloth. The cloth will be a barrier, and then your place of sajda will be pure. So there's no harm in that. JazakAllah khair. Any other questions? Any questions? No? Brothers? No 8 a.m. classes, right? 10 a.m. inshallah. Okay, is that finish here? Khair inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah wa ma'ameen. Everybody give salam to 5 people inshallah today. JazakAllah khair.
JazakAllah wa
ta'ala.